Welcome, everybody. So today I want to start out with just a little bit of recap of something I said last week. If you haven't heard the message from last week, I really encourage you to listen to that one. It was I was speaking from the heart. You know, it's kind of a message God had put in my heart Saturday, and I just came before you to share that with you. That title of that message was No More Church as Usual. No More Church as Usual. And I hope that that message, for those of you who had heard it, has really resonated with you. Because it's been resonating with me. There are rumblings within my own heart and my spirit, things that I have been thinking about for a while that really just came to the surface as I spoke that message. And let me just give you a summary of what I said last week, that our purpose of a church, as a church, is to help people grow in their faith and to reach more people for Christ, to help people live out a biblical worldview throughout their lives. But statistics show that the number of Americans living according to a biblical worldview continues to decline. And we need to do something about it. We can't just continue to do church the way we've always done church. We have to take action. We have to make a change. And the two big points that we talked about is that discipleship is not just learning things. It's not just about gaining knowledge about the Bible and coming together and talk about what the Bible says. But it's about taking action according to the Bible, doing what it says, and teaching others to do it. And that the very important focus of our discipleship needs to be kids under the age of 13. Because by the time kids reach 13, their worldview that they're going to live by is pretty much set. Now, again, God can change that. We can all, as adults, continue to grow, and we are just as important. Discipleship for adults is important, but if we're not reaching the kids, we are not making a difference for the future. We must do something. And there's some things that are on my mind that I want to share with you this morning before I get started that I want to change. God has been challenging me to change my preaching a little bit, to grow in my preaching. I want to challenge myself and try out some new things, to take some chances on God speaking through me in some different ways. And so you're going to see a little bit of changing, a little bit of experimenting of new things. Because I've become comfortable with the way I preach. And honestly, you don't want me to remain comfortable, right? For your sake, I should continue growing. And so you're going to have to bear with me as I stumble through some things and do things like I did last week and said, made little errors, like I said, Mordecai is Esther's cousin, which is actually not accurate. Oh, I'm sorry, that's accurate. See, here I go, making mistakes again. Oh, man. Mordecai, I said he was her uncle. He is actually her cousin. So you're going to make mistakes. I am going to stumble a little bit, but I am trying to grow. And so I'm releasing some control of my preaching to God, and you're going to see some changes. I want to try some new things. I also know that I need to challenge you. I need to invite you and take and actually lead you into things that will be challenging to your faith, that may be uncomfortable. But they're all directed toward becoming more active in our faith. And I don't know what all those things will be yet, but I'm going to be asking God for help. I want to focus a little bit more on mentoring. And you're seeing the fruit, a little bit of that, in a few weeks when Jason steps here up front to preach. It has been an honor and a joy to work with him on developing this message, and has really been resonating with me that I want to do more with that with more men, leading them on a path toward qualifying them to be elders in a church. I'm going to create a boot camp for men. And I want us to take more action together. We are going to start incorporating some action Sundays where our active worship is not just coming together in this building and sitting here for an hour. We are going to go out of this building and do things together, and we're going to start that next Sunday. Some of you are like, what? Next Sunday, the plan is, and I'll have more details by next Sunday, the plan is to come together as normal, to gather together in worship and prayer. But by the time we get to this point in the service, we are going to go out into this community and pray. We're going to take a day of prayer. We will have locations in the community for people to go. We will have some people remain here. Some places you might want to walk, some places you might want to drive, but we are going to go out and mobilize this church to go out into this community and pray. And then after a fixed amount of time. We're going to come back here to finish out our worship time together, praising God for what he's done. We need to take some action, and you can do this. I already see some going, what? You can do this. And we are not going to continue to do church as usual around here. We want to make a difference for the future of this world. We don't want to just go through life enjoying God's blessings and leaving everything for future generations to handle on their own. We want to make a difference for them. We want to prepare them to live more fully for God. And we are going to take action to do it. So today, I want to talk to you about prayer, to kind of get us ready for next week. And the first thing I want to say about prayer is that prayer is a privilege. Just think about that for a moment. Who is God? And I'm asking you, this is one of the things I'm changing. I'm asking you to answer me. Who is God? Don't just sit and listen to me. He's our creator and our maker. What else? Our Father. Provider, what? King. He is what? He is God. What a privilege it is that he has invited us into prayer, into an interaction with him, to come before him and present our requests to him, to pour out our hearts to him, to let him know what we desire, to just even enter into his presence and talk to him. What a privilege that is. And so when we think about prayer, keep in mind what an honor it is. You don't just hoard something like that away. You make use of it. You make good use of the privilege that God has granted us to come into his presence and pray with him. And when we do pray, the Lord is near. Psalm 145, 18 and 19 says, "The Lord is near to all who call on him, to all who call on him in truth. He fulfills the desire of those who fear him, and he also hears their cry and saves them." What a privilege it is to come into his presence like that. Now, prayer really begins with just having a conversation with God. It's not just calling out to him when you feel like you have some need. He's not some genie that we go to get the things that we want. Really developing your prayer life is just understanding that it's communicating with God. It's that communication that builds relationship. Right? Think about the kind of relationship you would have with your spouse or your children if you never talked to them. There'd be no relationship. Prayer is our relationship builder with the Lord. And so it is for everyone. There's no magical formula that you have to follow. There's not certain words that you have to say. You don't have to be well educated. You just speak your heart to the Lord. Simply speak and don't worry about the words you say. In fact, Jesus tells us not to be showy about it. In Matthew 6, 5 through 8, he says something about this. Let's take a look at Matthew 6. Do you have your Bibles with you? Matthew 6, 5 through 8, Jesus says, "And when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by men. I tell you the truth, they have received their reward in full. But when you pray, go to your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. And then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you." Now, Jesus is not saying that's the only way to pray. He's just saying don't do it to get attention for yourself. It's not about that. If you're seeking attention, the best thing for you would be to do to go pray in private. But he goes on. Do not be like them. I'm sorry. "When you pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him." I've been told that there are religions where they make all kinds of noise and ring gongs to try to get the attention of the God that they're praying for. We don't need to do that. God has already invited us. You don't have to say special words. Just speak. You don't have to be a priest or a minister to speak to God. All of us are invited into that privilege of speaking to him. Now, that last part of what Jesus said there really resonates with me as well when you think about prayer. The Father knows what you need before you ask him. So if you're worried about what to pray for, Your Father already knows what's on your heart. He already knows what you need, which really has affected my praying as well. Just take a look at Romans 8, 26 through 27 before I speak about that a little bit more. Romans 8, verse 26 says, in the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groans that words cannot express. And he who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints in accordance to God's will. So if you are not sure what to say, God's word tells us the Spirit within you speaks to the Lord. Just, I don't know if it makes sense to you, but just open up your heart to God. And God will hear what's on your heart, even if you can't utter the words. So you don't have to worry about what to say and how to say it. And knowing that God already knows what's on my heart, and he knows what I need, takes a lot of pressure off of me to get it right. Right? God's not waiting for me to pray for the right things before he responds to me. It makes me stop and consider what I'm praying for. If God already knows what I need, then I want to be careful to pray for those things and not just things that I want. Right? It makes me consider why I pray. If God already knows what I need, why am I coming to him? Because sometimes people think prayer is just about asking God for stuff. They treat prayer like a child begging for a toy. Right? God, would you please do this? Would you please do that? But prayer is not just for us to come and ask God for stuff. And it really, when you think about him knowing it already, it really makes you wonder about that. Why? So why should I talk to him? I already mentioned the one thing about relationship building. But God just invites us into his presence. He invites us into his will, understanding the will of our Creator. He provides an outlet for us. Life in this world is not always easy. We have worries and doubts and anxieties, and God tells us not to worry, so we try to stuff it and not worry, and God says, no, don't do that. Just share it with me. Just come to me and share what's on your heart. Prayer is that outlet to do that. Prayer is your outlet to cry to God, to sing to God, to give thanks to God, not just to ask him for things. Now, God does want to know our desires. Philippians 4, 6, and 7 says, do not be anxious about anything, but through prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. God invites us to share our anxieties, to share our petitions with him. And he wants to know what we desire. Think about that with your children for a minute, those of you who have children. You know, we want to know what's on their hearts. We want to know what they desire in life, but we also know that that's not necessarily what they need. Your child comes to you asking for a cookie, right? Sometimes, you know, that's not what you need right now, but it's good to know that that's what they want, because then you can have a conversation. Are you hungry? Oh, if you're hungry, let's give you something healthy to eat. Or we can talk about what the place a cookie has in your diet, right? That you need to have healthy food. You redirect them. You teach them about healthy eating. You teach them about self-control through them presenting this request to you. God does the same thing with us. We present our request to him. God, I want a cookie, right? Whatever that cookie is. And God may speak to us and say, well, what is it that you really need, though? Or maybe this isn't the right time for that. Or let's think about where I'm leading you in life. And maybe eventually you'll get that thing. But let's take care of some other things first. Prayer is our opportunity to come and listen to God's will, to understand his character, to reshape the way we think in the light of what God wants and the way he thinks. So we seek God's will and character through prayer, allowing him to shape us. I have another Bible verse I'd like to take a look at, and I would actually like one of you to read it for me. 1 John 5, 14 through 15. If I could have somebody read that really loud for us, I'd appreciate it. Loud like that. 1 John 5, 14 through 15. We have the confidence. Think about the confidence that you have when you come to God. First, that we ask according to His will. So God is inviting us to let His will reshape the way we think as we pray to Him. And so we become more aware of who God is and what His will is, and what great confidence that we can have in understanding our Lord better. There is a promise that He hears us as we come to Him. We don't have to wonder if God knows what we're saying. He does hear us. And if we know that He hears us, we also know that we have what He asked for. There's great confidence in that. There's great hope in that. That if we've asked for something in God's will happen. It will come to pass because our God desires to provide for us. He desires to let His will be fulfilled in us. And so if we're asking for His will to be done, we can know that it will happen. There's great joy. There's great peace that comes from that. We don't have to keep begging God, please make this happen. If it's His will, it will happen. And we can have strength in that. God delights to hear from you. He wants to have you engage with Him. Now I go back to Matthew one more time and take a look at what Jesus said in Matthew 7, verses 7 through 11. Jesus says, "Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. He who seeks finds, and to him who knocks, the door will be opened." Part of prayer is just that seeking. We come to God and we continue to seek God. If we're not seeing the answer to our prayer happen, maybe we need to reconsider what we're asking for. Maybe we need to evaluate, is this God's will? Is this what you want, Father? So we continue to come back to Him. God, help me understand your will. God, show me the way. Open this door. Close that door. Teach me to follow you. That is the seeking that Jesus is talking about, and you will receive. Which of you, if he has given his son, asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake? There's a couple fathers that I wonder. You know, what would they do? No, seriously, we wouldn't give our children dangerous things like that. If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask Him? God delights in answering our prayers. He delights in giving us the things that we ask for Him when we seek Him. Don't you delight in giving to your kids, especially when they ask you for something? And even more so when they ask for something that you know is good for them? When they're coming to you and expressing the things that you've taught them about what is good in life, and they're saying, "Can I have this?" Oh, yes, I would love to give that to you. That's the image of God in relationship with you when you come to Him and ask according to His will. He delights in giving you those things. So continue to seek Him. Continue to ask for His will and have confidence that He will give according to those wishes. God delights to hear from you. He enjoys having you engage with Him. So we enjoy many benefits from prayer. Think about all the things that we get to have because we pray. First of all, it slows down our reactions. It gives us pause. When things are happening around us and we just need God's guidance, we go to God, rather than going to anyone else first, and he slows us down and makes us think. He changes our focus. As I've talked about in many ways, he gets our mind off of our will and off of our desires and onto his. Prayer teaches us to submit our will to God. It's a practical step that we take to keep saying, okay, God, I don't want what I want what you want. And he teaches us to submit our will. I was just reading, actually, a book about intercession, and one of the sections they talked about was abandoning your will to God, or abandoning the outcomes to God. So whatever's going on in your life, whatever you want, abandon that outcome and give it up to God completely. Say, God, I don't want what I want what you want. Practice abandoning the outcomes that you expect and letting God have his way instead. Prayer allows you to practice that. Prayer draws you into God's presence. It opens your eyes to who he is. It results in changed actions. Prayer is often the first step toward changing our lives completely. It teaches us to think differently, and when we start thinking differently, we start acting differently. And prayer allows you to see more clearly into God's actions. It opens your eyes to what he is already doing around you. As you sit and dwell on who God is and ask for his will, he starts to show you the ways he's already been acting. Maybe he's already working on your behalf in the ways that you're seeking him. There's so many benefits that we get from prayer, so I want to challenge you and encourage you to take your prayer life, wherever it is right now. We have a broad range of experiences with prayer right now. Wherever you are right now, consider how you can go a little bit deeper with it throughout this next week. And I want to give you one assignment. Take a look at Matthew 6, 9 through 15. You are going to be familiar with it, most of you. If you've been in church at any point in your life, you are familiar with Matthew 6, 9 through 15, also known as the Lord's Prayer. This is where Jesus taught his disciples how to pray. I would like you to look at it this week in preparation for next Sunday and just walk through it. You know, your first, if you've never read through this before, never thought about it, your first instinct will probably just to repeat it from memory because you've said it so many times. Slow yourself down and read what he says. The point isn't the words, it is the meaning behind them. And look at how Jesus calls us to pray. Think about how you can apply that to your prayer life. And then next week, come ready to praise God in new ways through prayer. Come ready to take on a new challenge in your faith life. And join your faith, your church family in shaking up some foundations in this community. God's will is to change the direction of this community, to draw people to him, and we want to join him in that will. We want to go out and seek his will and ask him to accomplish that will in key areas around our city. Join us in shaking up those spiritual foundations and in joining our hearts together to seek God's desire. So let's give God thanks for the opportunity, for the privilege that we have to come into his presence by joining together in prayer now. Let's praise him and let's prepare ourselves this week to take some action next Sunday. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, our Lord and Creator, what a privilege, an amazing privilege it is to come into your presence, to speak to you, and to know that you hear our heart's desires. I pray that you just speak to all of us this week, drawing us closer and deeper into understanding who you are and what your purposes are. I pray that you would fill this church with anticipation this week as we prepare ourselves to go out and pray for this community. Bring us all together next week with joy and, as I said, anticipation for what you're going to do, Lord. I pray that you would bless everyone here, Lord, with a deeper understanding of who you are and a deeper prayer life as we consider these things. In Jesus' name, amen.